How can we positively impact mental health care through technological innovation? According to our next guest, Ernie Wallerstein, CEO of Mental Health Technologies, it starts by enabling quantifiable improvements in patients' journeys to wellness. Driven by a passion to address the growing challenges of providing mental health and substance abuse services, Ernie and his team built an innovative SaaS platform that seamlessly integrates validated psychometric testing into healthcare providers' existing workflows. While together, Ernie shares how MHT's technology empowers medical professionals to screen patients, objectively collect mental health data, and enhance billing practices. Ernie also reveals his vision for horizontally integrating the entire mental health process and leveraging data analytics to proactively identify negative treatment trends. Join us to learn how Ernie and the MHT team are streamlining mental health screening through technological innovation. Let's go.
Welcome to Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli, where we highlight and speak with the innovators, the game changers, and the pioneers who are deeply passionate and relentless in solving the problems our world is facing today. This is your opportunity to connect with and learn from these leaders and to support them on their mission. Perhaps they will soon be hearing your story as well. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you on this journey with us.
Hi, Ernie. Thank you for joining up on the podcast today.
Mike, thank you for having me. Really excited about this conversation.
Given your expertise, determination, and passion to revolutionize the mental health industry by enabling quantifiable and qualitative improvements in patients' journeys to wellness, I'm so excited for this important conversation today. But before we dive in, a bit of housekeeping. While listening to any of our episodes, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast so you will automatically receive episode updates in your podcast player. Simply search Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, please visit the bottom of the episode notes to connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter in order to further the conversations occurring on this podcast. All right, Ernie, it's almost time for our community to learn how you and the Mental Health Technologies team are bringing technological innovation to healthcare by aiding professionals in addressing the growing challenge of providing services for mental health and substance abuse. First, what's that one piece of advice that you would give to others who are passionate about reimagining the health of our world?
Deal with reality. I think that'd be the number one thing I tell people. I think we have utopian views of what can be done, what can revolutionize healthcare, perfect information across a vast array of different individuals and processes providing healthcare. And you have to deal with the reality of that. You have a lot of doctors, nurses, physician's assistants, medical assistants. They're busy. They're running around. They have a lot of documentation to fill out. You have to integrate that into whatever solution you're trying to bring to them. If you're trying to do something better for a patient, it also has to improve the efficiency and quality of life for the people providing the services. And I think that is an important aspect of our healthcare industry. You know, we hear a lot of banter, even at the political level, where people are screaming from the rooftops about we should do this, we should do that. And seldom does that actually integrate reality into that conversation.
You know, Ernie, it's such a salient point, especially as we think through what we just have been through with COVID and we've watched the realities of telehealth, which has been with us for decades prior. The realities of telehealth really blossom at that moment. Why? Because it was a desperate need at that moment of time, right? So to your point, on the other end, I think you're spot on, Ernie. We have to think about the end users and who those end users may be. And at the end of the day, we can go and build technology. We can go build companies and we think it's the best thing since sliced bread. If it doesn't solve the pain points and the needs of the end users, then what have you really built, right? I got to take it, Ernie, in regards to what you and the team have been building at MHT, and we'll dive more into it a little bit more. I got to imagine part of making sure you're addressing reality is getting out in the field and talking to those end users. How important has that been to your journey as well?
It's been massively important. And it was a lesson hard learned, actually. So we started this business about a year before COVID hit. And unfortunately, I've had COVID four times. We started before. What we did is we built an application like many people do with this really cool UI with great contextual screens and super easy to use. And then COVID hit, and COVID itself didn't stop the need for what we do, which is identifying patients who might need have comorbid conditions around behavioral health issues. Behavioral health being an umbrella for both mental health and substance abuse type issues. So that slowed the industry down because they were distracted. They had to go really focus on telehealth. They had to teach doctors and nurses how to go do Zoom and Teams. So that was a distraction. If anything, it exacerbated the need to identify people with mental health issues. On the back end of COVID, we realized there was a massive hit to the administrative layer in healthcare. So we created this really great UI. Well, the people you'd train to use that UI, they were turning over. Doctors and nurses couldn't learn another system. So we learned, both through feedback and the hard way, that we had to automate this entire process and make sure that the triggers for testing people and the results all resided in their EHR, their electronic health records. They didn't have the time to learn another system. So you had to put that information easily in the systems they already knew, which is their EHR, EMR. And that lesson, it took us some time to get it. Then it took us some time to build the tech. But now, because we've learned that, now we have this seamless process, or as seamless as we have it so far. We'll get better and better. And it just flows into their day-to-day. They don't have to learn something else. And the reality is they don't have time to learn something else.
It's such a great point. It completely shines a light on that notion of making sure you're getting feedback from those end users and making sure you're building in the realm of reality, right? We can always pontificate and think and strategize of, oh, this is going to solve world hunger and this can be the best thing since sliced bread. But if we're not living in the basis of reality, we've seen, and I'm sure you have as well, I've seen a lot of startups go belly up because they haven't done exactly that. So Ernie, we obviously have a lot to talk about. A lot of great things happen in the MHT camp. We're going to unpack that and more after we get back from thanking our community champion sponsor.
Healthcare faces a paradox that echoes through generations. While the current practices that help heal patients today are vital, it is crucial to evaluate them through an environmental lens. OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative is a collection of interviews featuring influential thought leaders and industry experts like you who share their sustainability strategies, insights, and provide valuable perspectives from diverse industries to inspire innovation within the healthcare sector. OSHA invites you to join this journey. Want to share your sustainability story? OSHA is actively looking for partners to highlight the important and inspiring work being done around the globe. Check out OSHA's Responsible for Tomorrow initiative and series at OSHA.com, that's OSSUR.com, or visit the episode notes and click on their link. Together, and with OSHA helping lead the way, let's all be responsible for tomorrow.
All right, we are back with Ernie Wallerstein, CEO and President of Mental Health Technologies. Ernie, thank you so much. Basing our technologies, basing our innovations in reality, needed now more than ever. There's a huge opportunity to move this healthcare industry forward. But at the end of the day, entrepreneurs and innovators need to be thinking about the pain points in the marketplace and the customers that they serve and basing those technologies and innovations in reality. I love it. Ernie, we're going to dive in into quite some detail around your organization, MHT, and the things happening in your camp. But of course, first, got to hear the journey of how this all came to be in the first place. You teased it on the front end a bit. You guys started building the company about a year before COVID. Of course, a lot of things have changed since 2019, you know, as well as I do. So would love to kind of get behind the scenes, how this company all came together. Then we'll talk about how are things going today, what you guys are seeing in the marketplace for tomorrow as well. And then, of course, how we can be helping you and the team out. But first, Ernie, take us back to those early days. How did MHT come to be in the first place? Give us a little bit of that sneak peek behind the scenes. How was the company brought to the marketplace in the first place?
So I appreciate that, Mike. So actually, before MHT, I personally was not involved in the healthcare industry. I was in the tech industry, cloud computing and communications. At that time, I was running a division for a publicly traded company, all cloud type computing stuff. A good friend of mine who is now our VP of sales and a co-founder was in the healthcare industry. He was dealing with advanced depression solutions, mainly around something called transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, which is for people where drugs and therapy has not helped them. It's a more advanced treatment. He knew a psychiatrist who had this idea of screening patients on a more consistent basis and also being able to track outcomes and objectively track efficacy of treatment, because mental health is very subjective, right? Which is one of the issues in mental health, especially when it comes to payers. So he had this idea, introduced me to the psychiatrist, and within 3 weeks, I gave my company 3 months' notice to find a new president and wanted to go on this journey. At a personal level, it was time to do something. I'd had a good career. I'd been lucky to be around some really good mentors. I'd learned from people, and I felt at a personal level, it was my time to give back. And then this opportunity came up and it was a bit of a no-brainer. Like everyone, we're all touched by behavioral health issues. I have a mother who has dementia. We all get touched. So it hit me that, hey, here's a need. Here's an opportunity for me to get a little higher on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And from a sales guy mentality, I knew I could walk into any room and connect with everybody in the room about this. They may not agree about my approach or our approach, but they would all care because everyone cares about behavioral health. And we started the company just about 5 years later. You know, we've proven our product. We've grown. We've tested over 500,000 people. We continue to grow every year. And something I'm really proud of, we got to $1 million of ARR, entirely bootstrapped. No VC money, no PE money yet. It's all been friends and family, and those people are still with us. And we're excited about what we're getting, but we're also excited about the number of lives we're touching. So, you know, it was a good time in my personal life. I got to surround myself with some really smart people who are smarter than me and get this going. And I think we're just scratching the surface.
What a backstory. I absolutely love it. Ernie, before we go into who is MHT, what the company is building, what you're seeing in the marketplace, and then those end results of how the end users are seeing the technology and the value that they're obviously receiving from it. Got to ask, Ernie, was it worth it? Was it worth jumping off that cliff, becoming a founder and CEO of this company? What has the experience been like thus far on a personal level?
Yeah, I actually couldn't imagine my life right now without having done this. The personal satisfaction of identifying kids who might have suicidal ideation, the vast majority of adults, like statistically, the numbers are overwhelming, right? So, you know, 20% of all people who see their primary care doctor probably have a comorbid behavioral health issue. Half of those people aren't going to get help. So there's all that, the aspects of helping people out, like every morning we wake up. So you're running a business, and then every once in a while, you got to take a step back and look at the altruistic aspects of what we're doing. And, you know, a big point here, Mike, is I never run into a doctor who doesn't want to know about behavioral health issues, but I run into lots of doctors, and using doctor as a generic term for healthcare professionals, I run into a lot of them that are worried about the ability to actually address it properly. They don't have the time. You go to these clinics, the amount of running around these people are doing, both from patient to patient, and then all the paperwork they have to fill out, all the insurance data they have to fill out, ordering labs, like it's overwhelming. And here's the reality of it. We have more people who need help and we have less people to give them help. So, you know, technology is actually part of the problem, but technology can be properly applied to help address the issue and help the people that are trying to help patients.
Well, let's talk about that. You teed me up perfectly. Let's talk about the help that you and the team are bringing to the marketplace. Ernie, let's first start. Who is MHT?
So MHT is a cloud platform that integrates with primary care and behavioral health clinics, EMRs, so electronic medical records. And what we've done is automated the entire process, Mike. So when a patient's appointment comes in, we take the attributes of the appointment and then make decisions through algorithms of should that patient be tested, and if so, what tests should they get? And those tests are mental health, substance abuse screening tests. We, MHT, don't make those decisions. We have the platform. We then spend time with the medical director of that clinic and let him or her or they tell us what rules do they want to apply to screen patients. And then if a patient's tested, we write those results in the EMR, make them apparent to the provider. If the patient happens to score acutely for one of those tests, we build logic in our software. Hey, would you like to talk to a behavioral health professional? So now you get patient consent. You redirect the patient to an appropriate behavioral health provider in their area or telepsychology. So what we're trying to do is screen people, identify people who might need more help, stratify the level of help they need, and then make the path to help around behavioral health easier. Take some of that burden of identification away from the primary care providers, and then make sure these people, these patients who are looking for help, get the help. And underlying underneath all this, Mike, is behavioral health issues a lot of times are comorbid, right? Hey, I can't sleep. Well, I can't sleep because my back hurts. Well, I can't sleep because I'm depressed. My back hurts because I can't sleep. Like all those things, connecting those dots in terms of general wellness, we're not solving all that, but we're providing more data to healthcare professionals so they have a better picture of their patient's wellness.
You know, one thing as well, Ernie, you know, as well as I do, it can be incredibly difficult to integrate with EHRs, EMRs. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you also mentioned a bit earlier, you know, a lot of our care team providers are just completely inundated with data entry. At the end of the day, you know, Dr. Ernie or Nurse Mike or MP Mike, they did not go to school and do all this training to become data entry specialists, right? You know, let's talk about that a bit as well, Ernie, in regards to the experience that MHT has had to integrate into the EMR, EHR, but more importantly, how has that been? What's the positive feedback you and the team have received from those clinicians about that integration into the EMR, EHRs? And for our layperson tuning in, not knowing how difficult it can be, I definitely have been on that side. It is not an easy feat. Let's talk about a little bit about that, Ernie. And then, of course, we'll talk a bit more on how everybody else is using the technology.
So, Mike, I appreciate you actually understanding this stuff and having a technical background and a healthcare background. Integrating to the EMRs it's a clear differentiator for us. It's very hard. Most people do not want to do it. There are companies in our industry that either because of how hard it is to integrate to an EMR or because of their go-to-market strategy aren't doing this. A lot of other companies that are screening for behavioral health, they're doing it through a patient-facing app. We're doing it focused on the healthcare provider and extending it to them because that's a larger net, we believe. Integrating to any third-party software is hard. So for technologists, it's hard because your success is not entirely dependent on your efforts. You need a third party to be involved. And sometimes they're not in tune with your goals. So managing that. Easiest example is you integrate to an EMR and 6 months later they upgrade and all of a sudden the integration doesn't work. So luckily for us, a couple of us come from a cloud computing background. We've done integrations to EMRs, financial software. So we were less scared of it, but I continue to tell our staff that don't come from technology, hey, by the way, this is hard. Like, don't underestimate how much work this is to not only develop, but to maintain. But we believe it's important. We believe it's important because it solves the key problem. So one of the key problems is this has got to be easy. Otherwise, a healthcare provider can't do it. They're already, as we already discussed, overwhelmed. It's got to work within their flow. So we get very positive feedback from the healthcare providers that this is seamless for them. For example, I take a screening test and I score low. Okay, the notes get written. But if I score high, we actually flag it in the EMR. They easily see a red flag or an A for an abnormal test score. That allows them to easily integrate that into their conversation without reading a whole bunch of documentation or providing a screening test themselves. So, you know, the feedback's been positive because we have worked to make this as in line with their normal day-to-day as possible while extending the level of care they're providing to incorporate behavioral health.
One last thing I'll add for our listening community, and then I'll ask a couple more questions in regards to the experience thereof. To have it to be bootstrapped as an organization, to go over $1 million of ARR at this stage of your company, while making the investment for integrating into EMRs, EHRs, the only word I can really think of, Ernie, is unicorn. I mean, that's just absolutely impressive. Incredible job. I mean, yeah, for folks that don't understand those integrations, that is a monumental feat. So well played there, Ernie. Let's talk about some of the downstream impacts that patients are seeing from being able to have this technology in those clinicians' hands. What are you seeing as a team? What have been some of those benefits downstream to the patient level?
Yeah, so from the patient experience, a few things. One, we made sure the patients don't have to log into a portal. The patients don't have to know their login information. They're not going somewhere else. We actually sent a communication from their trusted advisor, which is their healthcare provider, and they simply click on a HIPAA-compliant encrypted link, and then they're taking their screens, but that screen is literally coming from their healthcare provider. Then that data comes in. For the patients, we are allowing them to make a decision. Hey, based on your test scores, you might need a little more help. Would you be interested? They get to consent. They get to answer sensitive questions in an inanimate object. There's not a person staring at them, asking them if they're thinking about suicide. They're doing it on their cell phone at their leisure, and they can answer that question confidently and honestly. Someone's not judging them and saying, hey, you might want to talk to somebody. They're being offered that. And if they say yes, we immediately connect them. We have a network of national behavioral health providers that we partner with. We don't make any money off that. We don't have anything to really do with that other than we bring them to the table as another piece. Like when we're talking to primary care, and that's the largest net to cast here, primary, we got to solve four problems. it has to be super easy to use. And that's where the integration comes in. It has to make clinical sense. Well, of course, screening for this stuff makes clinical sense. Now, the issue there is, can you do it in a realistic time frame for those healthcare providers? So we solve that. So it has to be easy to use, clinical sense. It has to make financial sense. Doing these screens can't cost them money. They're already price constrained. I was blown away, Mike, to learn, you know, margins in primary care are like 8 to 10%. That's really hard.
That's on a good day.
And you have, right. And you have rising administrative costs because of inflation, right? And then the last bit is, what happens if someone identifies with an acute problem? Where do they go? These primary care docs can't hear that, well, you know, you find somebody. So we always bring partners to the table that they can then build a relationship with. So, and that's on the primary care side. And then once that patient goes to behavioral health, most of our behavioral health partners are using our software to track efficacy of treatment and to provide feedback to the primary care doc because they want to know their patient's being taken care of. So we're trying to complete that entire circle. Are we there 100% of the way? No, but we're 85% of the way. The last 15% I'm excited about because that's when you get into data analytics. And that's as you lead into the future, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
No, it's exciting. Those handoffs, you know, as well as I do, those handoffs, you know, between care teams, it's so pivotal, so vital. Allow a, you know, strong continuum of care. And especially when we're talking and specifically around behavioral mental health, critical now more than ever. And to your point, Ernie, I believe that technology can help be that solution in regards to those handoffs between clinical care teams. Ernie, let's talk about those patients. What's the feedback been like from the patients who have been able to interact with MHT?
Yeah, you know, the feedback we get is indirect because our customers, the healthcare provider, their patients are theirs. We're not direct. We, MHT, do not directly market to patients or communicate with patients. But I believe the feedback's been very positive. Our test rate, when tests get sent out to patients, the completion rate. So think about it. They're getting an email or a text message. Our completion rates are above 60%. That is astronomical for electronic communications, right? So typically, you know, 20% is great. We average, and you know, so about 200,000 patients this year will have completed assessments, and just over 300,000 were sent assessments. So, you know, it's indirect. We're not surveying patients, Mike, but the fact that they're completing these, the fact that they're having the conversations with the providers, that they're completing them on a consistent basis, that's the metric that matters to us. And at 60% completion rate, it's astronomical, actually. We're, you know, want to say we plan for that, but no way. I was thinking anything, you know, north of 40 would have been great. 50 was a great milestone. It's at 60. And to close that out, we even looked at the data for 65 and older because a large percentage of the patient population is Medicare-based, and it has a lot to do with how providers are reimbursed. And there are more government requirements for screening patients once they're under Medicare. Of the patients 65 and older that were sent our assessments, 45% of them completed it the first time they got the link. And usually they get a reminder within a day. Another 15% completed them on the reminder. So 60% of our demographic, and this is over 25,000 data points, that are over the age of 65 were completing these assessments. You know, look, I don't have stats on this, but I can't imagine of any other survey sent out that has that kind of completion rate. People are struggling and they want help. That's the bottom line.
No, you're absolutely spot on. So that is an incredible feat to be that high in regards to his response rate. So Ernie, then let's talk about those care teams, those providers. They got to be ecstatic receiving this feedback, you know, from their patients. What's their feedback about MHT to you?
Yeah, they appreciate the data. We have a pain clinic. The doctor was like, you know, how important it is for him to know, in this case, it was a he, how important it was for him to know this data. That's a great example. Somebody just had back surgery. They're going to go for physical therapy. Well, physical therapy is going to take a lot longer if someone is depressed than if they're not depressed. Incorporating that into the care program, you know, the feedback from him has been fantastic. This is just one data point. He's like, I don't understand how to do it without this now, right? So there's a data point. I'll tell you some of the pains. Like everything isn't, you know, hunky-dory and flowers and stuff. It's still a challenge for some of our customers to get billing right, to get reimbursement right, because the insurance industry this is an opinion. The insurance industry is a little scared about behavioral health because of its subjectivity. They don't have enough data for the actuaries to actually compile numbers. In the long run, Mike, I think that's where she's going to have millions of data points of people tested across different demographics, different ethnicities, that can be used to start figuring out what is the propensity for behavioral health issues, and then how is that priced in a payer program? You mentioned you have, you know, some groups that are government-based. How does a government plan for the amount of citizens that might have behavioral health issues? And you know what? There aren't going to be enough psychiatrists and psychologists to help these people. You have to build programs. You have to stratify this. Self-help, meditation, maybe online sessions, and avoid what's happening today, which is over 10% of ER visits are mental health-based. That's killing our healthcare system. They're not prepared for that. They don't have the people for it. It's blowing out cost models. So we have to, as a population, and you know, the most advanced, what we all believe is the most advanced country in the world, we have to start building a program on how to get people help sooner. The American Psychiatric Association has this term called B4 Stage 4. The sooner we can help people, the better chance they have of getting healthy, the better chance you have of controlling cost. And MHT or MHT-like technology is a part of that solution.
So you teed me up perfectly for it to look a little bit down the road, grab our crystal ball off the shelf, if you will, Ernie. You tease it out just a bit of where we do need to go. I couldn't agree more with all of what you just said. This is a huge cost center to our industry. And if we can just get ahead of it and do some of the things you just mentioned. But you teased it just a bit earlier. You talked about data analytics. Where are we going with that? Where's MHT going with that? And how is that going to be an important part of solving this behavioral health crisis?
Myself and our CTO, from the beginning, we've talked about, okay, how many data points do we need to be able to use this information and really start going down an analytics standpoint? And we agreed early on about 500,000 data points would be a good starting point. And we're about to get there. So, you know, in terms of where we're going, right? So sometimes, you know, it's the business planning. So our CTO is going to focus massively in 2024 on data analytics. That's his ballyboo. That's also where we think there's untapped value in terms of what we can bring to the healthcare industry. Integrate that information through an AI models to start predicting which assessments people should get. Start making recommendations. We would never make clinical decisions, but make recommendations to medical directors that says, hey, based on this demographic and these test scores and this efficacy of treatment that we've been able to integrate in, here's some recommendations of potential therapy or paths to be considered. We'll let the medical director make that decision. So that, take, and Mike, we're not, and to your audience, MHT itself isn't going to do that. We have to take data, integrate that data with the EHR, bring that into some type of, you know, third-party business analytics tool and start understanding efficacy of treatment. What we're going to do, though, is we are going to integrate that algorithmically into the recommendations we make about what screens people should get, how often should they get. Because not only will we be able to screen patients, we'll be able to track, are they getting better over time? Set off an alert if, hey, you know what? Mike was here 3 months ago, 6 months ago, his score was higher, but 9 months ago, his score was lower. Let someone know that there's a negative trend here proactively, right? So that's where this heads. And I think, you know, it has the opportunity to significantly increase the services around behavioral health that primary care can provide with behavioral health hooked up to this in terms of, okay, where do these people go if they need more help?
What an exciting future state. And it doesn't sound like we're too far off, Ernie. Love the fact that your CTO and your technology team are really focusing on that. Very, very important. And this can be able to help solve and take care of a lot of the issues that we're experiencing currently in the marketplace and be able to empower and enable our care team providers. Incredible, incredible vision. Let's throw the crystal ball back on the shelf for now. Let's get back to current state. Ernie, as I mentioned to you before we hit record, we have an incredible, incredible community rallied around this podcast, and they love to help our guests. What's one problem, need, or question that you and the team have that our community can be helping you with?
You know, I think the single biggest challenge in this today is, again, our audience are healthcare providers, right? So primary care, behavioral health is our focus, but now specialty. We're getting into pain clinics. We want to get into oncology because those are people going to have a high propensity for behavioral health issues. You know, pain, substance abuse issues. So there's, this thing makes sense. The adoption of this, where it comes down is there's always the challenge of being able to properly bill for it. Reimbursement. It has to make money. It has to at least break even. The insurance industry is a bit behind. I always give this analogy, Mike. It's chiropractics 30 years ago.
you went to an orthopedic surgeon, they said, raise your arm. Oh, you need surgery. There were no MRIs yet. Same thing's happening in behavioral health. There are brain scans. They're very expensive, like something called QEEG. It's not mainstream. How do we, as a population, how do we as technologists, how do we as healthcare providers, I don't know if the right word is, but urge our insurance industry, urge our governments to understand this is the biggest issue. Mental health, behavioral health is bigger than COVID, okay? Because this impacts our children. They're starting off from a mental health standpoint and from the propensity for mental health issues a way accelerated rate than we did when we were kids. They're bombarded with negative information. It's 24/7. It doesn't end. And we have to enable our healthcare providers to be able to spend more time on this because, you know, I don't even think this is biased. This is the biggest healthcare issue in the world. And we have to get ahead of it. We take blood pressure because cardiological issues became so highly propensive. I mean, so often, but they were very expensive. Well, you know what? You get a healthy individual in their 20s who has a behavioral health issue and is going to live 50 more years with behavioral health issues. That's expensive. We need our lawmakers, our insurance payers, our government to understand we got to start getting ahead of this thing because right now it's going way faster than we're catching up.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. We definitely need to get our arms wrapped around. It is one of those moments in time that are one of the biggest crises staring us down as an entire population around the globe. This isn't just for the United States. This is a global issue.
Mike, I'll give you a data point, which is scary. So last year, we tested over 15,000 kids between the ages of 11 and 17. 20% of them said they had suicidal thoughts at least once every 2 weeks. That's wrong. We need to give our kids a better chance than that. And it's scary, but we could just sit here and cry or we could do something about it.
Well, in order to do something about it and for our community to have those conversations with you and to think critically through some of this, how do they get a hold of you, Ernie? Social media handles, contact points online, websites, or otherwise, how do they track you down online?
So it's pretty simple. MHTech.com. Our website has all our blog access, all our hooks to LinkedIn, Twitter. It has all our contact information from mine to our CTOs, our VP of sales, who's from the healthcare industry. You know, that's the best place to go. We're not a marketing heavy company. We spend our time from a business development standpoint, but every day we put up information that's relevant in the behavioral health space. That's the best place to go, Mike. So mhtech.com has all our contact info, some really good content. And from there, your audience can get in touch with anyone that's relevant to them in our organization.
Easy enough, Ernie. And for our listening community, just simply scroll on down into your episode notes from your favorite podcast player. The contact points for Ernie and the team at MH Tech are all in there. You can also head over to our free global online community at passionatepioneers.com. There will be a post for this episode where you can also leave comments, feedback, suggestions, or otherwise for Ernie and the MHT team as well. Again, over at passionatepioneers.com. Ernie, a fantastic conversation, a conversation that is incredibly needed now more than ever. Amazing work happening within your team. Thank you so much for being here. But before we let you go, we have one more piece for you. It's a fill in the blank. I'm a passionate pioneer because
I want to make a difference.
Love it. Short, sweet, but incredibly powerful. And you can sense it through this entire conversation. Ernie, again, I know how busy you and the team are. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today and to share your journey and all the wonderful things happening inside the MHT camp. Thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much to your audience. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining us today on Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. We'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast so we can continue to improve this community and to further support the pioneers being featured. Lastly, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and invite your friends and colleagues to join us. This is Passionate Pioneers with Mike Baselli. I look forward to having you back with us during our next episode.